Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hello, everyone. Are you happy? Amen. God is good. Amen. Just making sure my thing doesn't cut out while I'm preaching. You have to put it on. Do not go off. Auto lock, never. Hallelujah. Amen. So our teams in South Africa, it's the end of the month. I always give a monthly report. We have six wonderful teams doing a school campaign every day. And they're in an area of South Africa called the Northwest Province. And this month, or last month, the month ended yesterday, they conducted 114 public school campaigns. And these are very rural areas. I've been there myself. I was there in this region myself in 2008. So we were last there in 2008. How many years ago is that? 15 years ago. So think about it. The seniors who are like 17, 18 years old are now 30, and they may be having kids in elementary school. So the great thing about Save the World Foundation, we reach in every generation. So our teams, just this month alone, led 46,279 students to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Just this month. And we're there until December. So please keep our teams in prayer. And our farm is, we're getting closer and closer. The good thing about South Africa, there's a lot of laws, okay? And even to buy a property, they have to do everything decently and in order. And our property lawyer emailed the group saying they need to advertise in terms of the Insolvency Act, and then we can register 30 days after that. So the money's there. Everything's there. So in the next 2 months or so, we're going to physically possess that farm. Isn't that amazing? 150-acre ranch. And we're going to fix it up, and we're going to relaunch it. It's a wedding venue, so there's been 700 weddings at this place in the last 20, 25 years. So I worked out with about 150 people per wedding. There's like 100,000 people in the city have been to this farm. So it's a famous farm. It's a 300-year-old farm. And the manor house is historical, and it's beautiful. And when I go there, we're going to hire a wedding coordinator, a farm manager, and our teams are going to move from Johannesburg down to Cape Town. We're going to keep one team in Johannesburg, where our current base is, and we're going to move five of our teams to Cape Town. Two of the teams will constantly evangelize Cape Town, and the other three teams are going to reach all the cities, towns, and villages within 2 hours of Cape Town. So it's all going to be exciting. And as soon as the place is looking amazing and we built a fence around it, every year we're going to have a trip. You guys are going to come for a week or 10 days to South Africa. We're going to stay on the farm. Amen. And once a day, we're going to do an outreach, and you're going to enjoy the farm. It's so beautiful already, although it's very overgrown. There's a 30-acre forest on the farm, and it's so beautiful, and it's in the area of Stellenbosch, which is wine country, and it's just so beautiful. And when I go there in the next 2 months, the one thing we need to stand for immediately, we need to start building a fence, not just a fence that anyone, like, build the wall. We need to have a very secure fence around the property, because there's unfortunately a lot of crime, and there's a certain political person in South Africa that is very popular, and he's unfortunately an African gentleman. He's very racist and racist towards people of color, white people in South Africa. Those are the people of color. And because of him inciting violence, there's been a lot of farm murders and everything. So we need to build a secure fence around. And especially when I go there, the farm is like, I mean, there's four, section 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a farm on this side, a farm on this side, and a farm on this side. But we need to definitely build a fence with our neighboring farmers because people can come in from that direction. But we at least want to build, when I go down there, a fence that stops people from the main road coming onto the farm. And that's going to cost $100,000 for that fence. So all in all, it's $400,000, but just that fence is $100,000. So Charlie, who's one of our board members, he's going down there in the next few weeks. He's going to be meeting different contractors. He's a property developer by profession. So trust me, he gets the best prices. And he's going to meet a few companies. We're going to get quotes. We're going to come up with the best solution. And he's overseeing all the building project because that's not my area of expertise. And I'll have the exact accurate quotes, but we're looking at about 100,000. So let's stand in faith for that 100,000. Amen. And if you want to be involved in sowing, you can grab one of the envelopes. And if you want to give towards the fence or say build that wall, so that the criminals won't come in. We love every culture, everyone, black, white, pink, green, orange, turquoise. We love everyone in our ministry. And I think myself, Lucinda, and my mom are the only Caucasians on our team. Everyone's African. So we love Africa. We love every culture. But we want to keep the criminals out. Amen? We don't want them to come and do bad things. Amen. So God is good. He's moving in South Africa, and we are trusting for him to do likewise in America. Amen. It's so funny. I've been listening to a lot of Elon Musk interviews this week because I want to learn, how does he think? If you want to go to the next level, it's as a man thinketh, so is he. That's what the Word of God says. So they've written a new a very famous author has written an autobiography of Elon Musk. He spent 2 years living with Elon Musk and going to every meeting. He had full access. He's written great autobiographies of Steve Jobs and Leonardo da Vinci and Einstein and all these famous people. He's arguably the most famous autobiography writer in the world. And I've been listening to interviews. I'm going to get the book and read the book. And I said to Cody, we need to see how he thinks. And Cody reads a book in a day, which I can't do that. So we're going to buy the book and I want him to study how Elon Musk thinks and everything. And so when I arrive at church today, his name tag says Cody Musk. That's good, Cody. That's good. Amen. So today I want to speak about a topic that is so powerful and it's going to be relevant to all of us. It's based on the prayer of Jabez. And the theme of what I want to talk about today is enlarging your territory. The Lord doesn't want us to shrink or shrink back. He wants us to increase. Do you know that the universe is an increasing universe? It's not a diminishing universe. And we all know that according to Colossians, the worlds were formed through Jesus. So our Jesus is always creating. God is creating galaxies, planets. I mean, he's so immense and creative. And us being here on earth, because we are created in the image of God, God wants us to be creators. He wants us to expand his kingdom here on earth. Can everyone say amen? So our foundation scripture is 1 Chronicles 4, verses 10. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez. Some people say Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And this is what's so powerful. It says, so God granted him what he requested. So like we were studying Musk, how does he think? Why is he so successful? How does he do things? How does he structure his company? How does he hire people? How does he start a new project? I wanted to study what made Jabez great. Because the Bible says God granted him what he requested. And hello, I have a few requests to make of the Lord. Do you have any requests? Or are you okay? Are you 100%? You don't need anything from the Lord. Your life is great. Your finances are great. Your relationships are great. Your business is great. Okay, if that's you, then you don't have to listen to my message. Maybe like work on something. But for those of you that want God to bless you and help you to go to the next level, I believe that the life of Jabez and the prayer of Jabez is going to help us, because if we do what he did, we're going to get what he got. And what did he get? God granted him what he requested. How would you feel right now if God gave you everything you requested? Thank you, Jesus! We'd go nuts. We go crazy. We go loco. So now, what did Jabez do? We know it's by grace, but the Bible also says faith without works is dead. So now the Bible says all of God's promises are yes and amen, but you got to position yourself to receive those promises. God's word is conditional. I wish it was all just yes and amen, yes and amen, yes and amen. Imagine your kids come to you from the age of 2 until 16 or 18, and you gave them everything they requested. Number one, you'd be bankrupt. Number two, they'd be in prison. You'd be in prison for neglect if you gave your kids everything they requested, because they can't handle everything they request. Or they're not ready for it. You can't give a kid a machine gun. They're going to blow up everything. Daddy, can I have a gun? Daddy, can I have a AK-47? Daddy, can we do this? Daddy, can we do that? There's probably more no's than yes. But if you can handle what you request, God will give it to you. Because if he gives it to you, it can actually destroy you if you're not ready for it. You need to have the character to receive what God wants to do for you. If he's going to raise you up and you're going to be full of pride and arrogance, and he knows you're going to be full of pride and arrogance, then he won't put you in that position, because pride comes before a fall. But if you have the character to humble yourself, the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if you make a request of the Lord in a humble state, because it's not about you, it's about God using you to reach this group of people, then God will use you. So one of the great characteristics and qualities that Jabez had was honor. Honor. He was a righteous man who stood out from his peers, because it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So what is honor? Honor is your character, your integrity. Your yes is yes and your no is no. honor and is can you be trusted? Can you be relied upon? If your boss tells you to do something, do you do it? Or do you make an excuse or you ignore it? If you make a promise to someone, do you keep it? If you make a promise to the Lord, do you keep it? And someone even once said, honor, which is character, which is linked to honor, is do you do things in private that are great things that no one knows you're doing those things, but you're doing it unto the Lord. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. John 12:26, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I want God to honor me. I want him to use me. I want him to raise me up. So it says here, we must serve. Who do we serve? We serve our family. We serve our friends. We serve our church. We serve our community. So he was a person of honor. Let's decree, I am a person of honor. I am an honorable person. The second quality, the second thing he did, which was quite powerful, he said, oh Lord, that you would bless me. How many want God to bless them? You better put up, I'm putting up my hands, my feet, everything. I want the Lord to bless me, right? Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You're asking God to bless you. You need to trust that God is faithful and that he will bless you. The Bible says, sow and you will reap, right? And the Bible says, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't mess with your confession. So if you've asked God to bless you, and in the natural it seems like the blessing isn't coming, don't cancel your blessing by your negative confession. I don't think this thing really works. I've been asking God to bless me. I've been asking him to bless me. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's why it's so important that we know the word of God, that we stand on his promises. So if you've asked God to bless you, thank him for 2 Corinthians 9:18. I thank you, God, for your word that says you will make all grace abound to me, and having all that I may have sufficiency in all things at all times, that I may abound in every good work. That's why Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you don't know what the Bible says, you're not going to stand on his promises. But if you know what the word says, you're going to stand on his promises. You're going to speak his promises. You're going to confess his promises. What I love about Jabez is he addressed God in faith, knowing that God had the power to do what he was asking God to do. Every invocation is heard when it is expressed from a depth of your heart. Why are you asking God to bless you? He addressed God for a change in his life. And when we look at Jabez, we can note that his prayers changed his life. If we want our lives to be changed, speak to your father. And it doesn't need to be in a religious way. Be normal. Don't be fake. Oh, Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, I beseech thee today. I know you're busy, but Lord, please rather listen to my prayers, not everyone else's. Can I get your attention, Lord? I ask thee that thou will do what thou's asked thee to do. Just be normal. Lord, I thank you for your word that says this. I thank you for your word that says that. I'm coming to you as a son. Father, please help me. My kids are on drugs. Please, Lord, set them free. Lord, open their eyes that they will see the error of their ways. Lord, please show my son that he's on the wrong path. I pray, Lord, that you give him a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of his understanding is enlightened. One of my best friends, Dean Levy, who's an amazing man of God. Hi, Dean. If you're watching. He was one of the best DJs in South Africa, in the nightclubs. And his mother, his Jewish mama, got saved. And she kept telling Dean about Jesus. Mom, if you tell me one more time, I'm going to scream. And she was praying for him, praying for him, praying for him. And he says, one night, I'm the DJ, and I have control of the whole club. And he did raves, and he controls the emotions. And I've never done it, but we've all seen them doing the thing. And he says, one day, God opened my eyes, and I saw demons all over the nightclub. And it freaked me out. And I don't know if it was that night, but soon after, if not that night, he gave his life to Jesus because his mother was praying for him. Lord, open Dean's eyes that he will see that Yeshua is the Messiah. Open his eyes that he will see the error of his ways. Lord, give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, I pray that Christians will reach out to him, that believers will reach out to my son, Dean. Thank you, Lord, that Dean will follow you and serve you and be a kingdom businessman for you. Guess what? Dean is. He's one of our very generous supporters in South Africa. He loves the Lord. He follows the Lord. He serves the Lord. And if God can save Dean and Jared, God can save your kids, your grandkids. He asked God to bless him. One of the ways we can ask God to bless us is spiritually. I want to be a spiritual giant. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You need to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I am blessed in the heavenly places because of what you did for me. Thank you that I'm spiritually blessed, that I have joy, love, peace, long-suffering, that I have the 9 gifts of the Spirit operating in my life, miracles, signs and wonders, healings, discerning of spirits, prophecy. Thank you that when I pray for dead people that come back to life, because your word says you have blessed me, so I have it. And I thank you, Lord, that it will manifest. Thank you, Lord, that I'm spiritually blessed. God wants us to be blessed in our needs. God wants our needs to be met. Do you have any needs? Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs. Not your greed, your needs. According to his riches. How rich is God? God doesn't have to sell a gate in heaven to finance anything. God is so rich. He's so blessed. And at the very least, he wants your needs to be met. He wants your mortgage to be met. He wants your rent to be met. He wants your school fees to be met. He wants your food needs to be met. He wants your car needs to be met. He wants your vacation needs to be met, because everyone needs a vacation. Can I have some water, please? I need water. Watch how it works. Thank you, Lord, that I receive my water in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mr. Musk. It's funny because sometimes, you know, when you have to sign into places, when I'm with Cody, I sometimes sign Jared Trump. I want to see the reaction. God wants us to be blessed, right? But that is like minimum. God wants us to be blessed in the overflow. Overflow. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask, think, according to the power that is at work within us. Let me read that again. Now to him, that's God, who is able to do far more than all I can ask. So God doesn't want us to be just, thank you, Lord, that you bless me this month so that my mortgage and my rent can. God wants the house to be paid off. Debt free. Debt free. Oh, Lord, I stand in faith that this month my car payments will come in Jesus' name. God wants your car to be paid off. Oh, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you know I'm sending my kid to the school, to this academy. Oh, Lord, I stand in faith in the name of Jesus that this month you just meet all my needs. No, God wants you to trust him for 4 years paid off. Imagine you walk into the principal's office. My son is coming to the school. For the next 4 years, I want to pay 4 years in advance, but I expect a good discount. Thank you so much. My kid is coming to this tennis academy, this baseball academy, this basketball academy. I know it's $100,000 a year. We coming here for 4 years. Here's $370,000 because I want a little bit of a discount. That's the overflow. But not only that, God wants you to be so blessed that you can help bless others. Oh, Lord, I'm standing in faith. I'm saving up to get married. Okay, Kilani. I'm saving up, Lord. No, God wants you not just to pay for your wedding, but for other people's weddings. Not just your car, other people's cars. Elvis Presley, he bought something like 30 Cadillacs for people. There's a pastor, I won't mention his name, and I want to be a pastor like this. He has a mega church, African-American pastor, and he's paid off something like 30 people's mortgages in his church. People that have been serving and been faithful for many years, and God blesses him, he blesses them. I want to be someone like that. That's the overflow. Then Jabez said, Lord, that you will enlarge my territory. Oh, the water is ish. Ish, it's leaking. God wants to enlarge my territory. God wants to enlarge your territory. What is your territory? Your influence. Your region, if you're a salesman and you're looking after Newport Beach, God wants to increase you to Newport Beach, Irvine, and Laguna. If you're looking after Laguna, Irvine, and Newport Beach, he wants to increase you to be over Orange County, to be the top salesperson over Orange County, then the top salesperson over California, then the top salesperson over America. He can do it. God wants to take you to a new level of intimacy, a new level of responsibility, a new level of blessing, a new level of authority. He wants to increase your territory. He's looking for sons and daughters that he can increase without that increase ruining them. If he can trust you, he will bless you. He wants to take you to a new level of increase financially. How many want to be blessed financially more? If your hand's not up, you're selfish because you're only thinking of yourself. He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Oh, I've got enough for my kids and we're gonna. He wants you to be thinking, who can you be a blessing to? Because it's more blessed to give. Deuteronomy 12:20, when the Lord your God shall enlarge your border as he has promised you, and you shall say, I want to eat meat, because your soul desires to eat meat, you may eat meat after all the desire of your soul. Sorry, vegetarians. Scripturally, it's meat. The Lord wants to enlarge your border. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. If you haven't been faithful in Jerusalem, he's not going to give you Judea. Be faithful in Jerusalem and he'll give you Judea. Be faithful in Judea, he'll give you Samaria. Be faithful in Samaria, he'll give you the ends of the world. The whole world will want your products. Your idea will be a blessing to the world. Your finances can be a blessing to the world. Your influence, your writing, your speaking, the world. We speak about it a lot in our church, but I want you guys to be blessed. So Malachi says, we should all know it, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. So these are one of the conditions for financial blessing. You have to tithe. I'm not saying it. Malachi says it. Malachi. Try me now, and this says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Oh, Lord, open the windows of heaven. Oh, Lord, I bind, I loose, I rebuke. Lord, it's been 3 years, the finances aren't coming in. Are you tithing? You binding, you loosing, you rebuking, you confessing. Are you tithing? You want the windows of heaven open? Tithe. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Amen. Can I have some more water, please? So he wants to enlarge your territory financially. He wants to also enlarge your territory spiritually. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, building yourself up spiritually. How do you build yourself up spiritually? The word, prayer, but also speaking in your heavenly language. That builds you up spiritually. He wants to enlarge your territory in the area of friendships. He wants you to have friends. Job 42:10. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes, giving him twice as much as before. In decision-making, he wants to enlarge your territory in decision-making. 2 Samuel 22:37, you have enlarged my steps under me. My feet have not slipped. This biographer for Elon Musk has a few companies. He's got X, formerly known as Twitter, tweet, tweet, SpaceX, Neuralink, The Boring Company, Starlink, and Solar City, solar panels. And did I not mention Tesla? Okay, so it's six companies. Maybe Starlink's under SpaceX. So now, the guy was in a meeting because now he's writing a biography about Elon Musk. And he said the guy heading up the solar business, that he was in meetings with him and his executives. And one of the ways he manages a company is that he will meet with the person under that person as well, just to make sure that the person under is not actually more dynamic and smarter than his manager. And there was problems with the solar business, and he had them all in a meeting, and there was a problem. And he said to this guy, like, what do you think we should do? And the guy answered him twice correctly. 2 Samuel 22:36, you have enlarged my steps under me, my feet have not slipped. Decision making. And because the guy was wise in answering correctly, he made him the boss, this guy, over the whole solar business. So you having the wisdom in knowing what to do will get you promoted. If you know what to do, people want you in charge. If no one knows how to run your department, there's confusion. Then the boss is looking for a manager, but if there's still issues, he's thinking, did I put the right person? But if your department is so dynamic, he's going to want to promote you because you're wise. In board meetings, you're wise. You're a wise guy. He wants to increase your territory with physical land and property. Can someone say amen? I know we have some wise property investors in the house. And let's trust for more houses for you guys, more apartments, more whatever. But let's trust that people in our church will catch that spirit of owning property. Amen? They're not creating more, God's not creating more land on earth, but more people are coming. 8 billion, nearly 8 billion, if not 8 billion already. Deuteronomy 19:8. If the Lord your God enlarges your borders as he has sworn to your fathers and gives you all the land which he promised to give to their fathers. So God has promised you property, land. Do you even know that? He wants you to receive it. Oh, Lord, really? Yes, he wants you to own property. He wants you to own land. Exodus 34:24, for I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither shall any man desire your land where you go up to appear before the Lord, your God, three times a year. And Isaiah 54:2, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Don't spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. See, stakes again. A lot of steak in the Bible. I love it. We love steak, right? And God wants you to also have an eternal legacy. I want to have an eternal legacy. I want my influence that I had on earth to be felt generationally. Isaiah 57:8, behind the doors and the posts, you have set up your memorial. Have you set up a memorial for the Lord? For you have uncovered to someone besides me and have gone up. You have enlarged your bed. Hopefully we haven't put on too much weight. And made you a covenant with them. You love their bed where you saw it. So what he's talking about is God wants you to set up a memorial, a lasting situation that can stand the test of time. So with Save the World Foundation, when Jared goes home to be with the Lord, guess what? We've got hundreds of evangelists. You can't kill hundreds of us at the same time. Some may old age, or some may decide, okay, I want to become a pastor, but we are perpetually training up an army of evangelists. And that is the one great legacy I personally have been called to do, raising up evangelists. But one of the things we need to do, we need the finances to sustain these evangelists. That's where you business leaders come in. God wants to bless your businesses so you can set up a generational legacy memorial to fund the gospel. Otherwise, trust me, your kids and grandkids are going to spend it all. And if in four generations they're not serving the Lord, God forbid, you've spent a lifetime creating a godly situation for it to be lost. So yes, think of your children, your grandchildren, but think about the spiritual lasting legacy you're going to leave behind. 1 Kings 9:3, the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayers and your supplication, which you made before me. So put yourself in this situation. Whatever prayer and supplication you make to the Lord actually goes before the Lord. We're not praying and I hope it makes it to the Lord. I hope there's not too much noise. No, whatever you pray to the Lord, he hears. Isn't that incredible? I've consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever. Eternity Church building, this is a memorial for all eternity. And as we outgrow this and get a bigger one, all the finances you've sown to make it possible is a lasting memorial forever. The people in heaven are like, we know who you are. Thank you so much for helping Eternity Church get a building. Thank you so much for helping Save the World Foundation start more school teams. Your memorial will last forever. You'll be famous in heaven forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So you are setting up a memorial for the Lord that's going to last eternity. And God's eyes are there. That means his attention is there because you've helped to develop his kingdom. Jabez also says, prays that your hand will be with me. That is asking the Lord for protection. You need to ask him to protect you. Jabez had the revelation that his enlargement was going to come from the hand of God. He had faith in God's ability to bless him. I always admire these people that do great things without the Lord. I mean, you have to admire it, right? How much more should we do with the Lord? It should provoke us. When I read about Elon Musk and study these people, I'm provoked. Lord, if they knew you, they'd be doing 100 times bigger. Now I'm going to shift my attention to what am I doing for you, Lord? Are there books in me that I'm meant to write? Are there sermons I'm meant to preach? Are there outreaches I'm meant to do? Are there teams I'm meant to create? What am I meant to do? Now, let's put the spotlight on you. What are you meant to do for the Lord? You need to be encouraged, but you also need to be provoked to do something. I'm not going to go into all of these, but I'm just going to read the highlight of it. Hebrews 11. It's the faith chapter speaking about faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to read from verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a son when she was past her age. Let's go to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, Joseph, the sons of Joseph, and worshipped. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure to the children of Israel and gave instructions. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was coming of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. Verse 32, and what shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, these are not aliens, okay? They're scriptural evidence, they're aliens. No. Women received back their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, of chains, of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being desolate, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in the caves of the earth. And all these have obtained a good testimony through faith. They did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So these people did great things through faith. What is faith? Trusting in God to do something great. And all you need to do is say, Lord, what have you called me to do individually? And what have you called me to be a part of? Because collectively, we can do more than we can as individuals. Like without my teams in South Africa, our 6 teams, this year we're tracking to lead about or over 600,000 students to Jesus. With me being here in America. So it's a team. It's a team. God wants you to be a part of a team, and within the team, he wants you to take your spot. Lord, what am I meant to do in the team? I'm a great organizer. I'm a great speaker. I'm a great networker. I'm a great artist. I'm a graphic designer. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a great singer. Take your place on the team, and collectively, we will do great things. Then Jabez also prays, Lord, that you would keep me from evil. Psalm 23, verses 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. These people in Hebrews, they were not just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. They were in that valley, some of them literally. Unless you convert to this religion, we're going to chop your heads off. They said, Jesus loves you. God will keep you from evil. And then the final one is, God granted his request. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You're seeking God to bless you, to prosper you, to use you, to lift you up, to raise you up. Don't get distracted from that. Don't get discouraged from that. Keep believing, keep trusting, and in due season you will reap if you don't grow faint, the Bible says. So don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Isaiah 65:24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Why are we speaking to God? He's hearing, he's listening, he wants to use us. 1 Samuel 1:27, for this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Isn't that great? So if you want a child and you're married and you can't have a child, it's a great scripture. Samuel's mom, for this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Psalm 81:7, you called in trouble and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. 1 Kings 9:3, the final scripture. The Lord has said to him, I've heard your prayer and your supplication, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, which you have built, by putting my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Amen. Dedicate your life to the Lord. Dedicate your children to the Lord, your grandchildren, your finances, your assets, your coming in, your going out. We need to be all in. All in, 100%. Not 30%, 50%, 80%. Oh, Lord, no, all in. Other religions, they're all in. And they don't know Jesus. We know Jesus, yet we're tiptoeing through the tulips. One foot in, one foot out. God says in Revelation, I hate it if you cold or lukewarm. I want you to be on fire, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. I don't want the Lord to vomit me out. I want to be a fanatic. Any fanatics in the house? I'm fanatically grateful that Jesus died on the cross. I'm fanatically grateful I don't need to go to hell. I am fanatic in love with Jesus, my family, you guys. I'm fanatical about fulfilling my destiny, about serving the Lord. I'm fanatic about teaching you the truth and provoking you. Many have been provoked and many left. The temperature in this church is hot. It's hot, hot, hot. But we are on fire for Jesus. Amen. And God wants to enlarge your territory. So let's do that right now. Let's pray the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:10. Can we possibly go back? Can we put that up if it's possible? Where he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. So 1 Chronicles 4:10, where it says, if you have your Bibles, or let's pray this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, so let's say, oh, Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you will keep me from evil, that I may cause no pain, in Jesus' name. And now you need to be expectant that God will grant you, like he granted Jabez, everything he asked for. So I want to encourage you, have a spirit of expectation. Expect your business to grow. Expect your relationships to grow. Expect your children to shift, to change. Expect your marriage to get better. Expect your business to grow. Expect to become wiser and smarter. Expect to come up with solutions. When the boss is like, before he even says there's an issue, you go to him or her with the solution. Hey, Mr. Jones, Mr. Lee, I've been thinking about our business. We got the greatest business, but I'm thinking, I believe there's an opportunity in this situation, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention. And he may have been thinking about it as well, but you're the only one that brings it to his attention because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows the future better than we know the past. So we need to be Holy Spirit people. Those that are children of God are led by his Spirit. Amen. So let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Father God, for your love, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for enlarging our territory. Thank you, Lord, that as we've been faithful, you will entrust us with more and more and more, because our heart's desire is to be a blessing to you. You are such a blessing to us, but Lord, we also want to be a blessing to you. We want to help bring in millions of souls, Lord, into your kingdom. We want to make an eternal shift for millions and hundreds of millions and a billion souls, Lord God. Here in Orange County, Africa, Asia, South America, North America, Australia, all the islands, all the villages, all the territories of the world. We want to be used by you, Lord. Thank you for raising up people in this church that can be evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, businessmen, businesswomen, inventors, innovators, educators, influencers, podcasters. Sports people, entertainment people, managers, CEOs, chairman of the board. All levels, Lord God, for your kingdom, so that every man, woman, and child on this planet, generationally until you come, will know that Jesus saves, will know that you are a good God. And even if they've been in prison, even if they've done terrible things or made such ridiculous mistakes, Lord, they will not feel condemned, but they will know that you're the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. You are such a limitless God. You're such a kind, amazing, beautiful, patient God. And you can redeem. You can redeem, Lord God. But most importantly, you can save. Even people in their 80s or 90s or more, Lord, you can save them. Use us to lead the elderly to Jesus, to you, into your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you will bless every man, woman, and child who watches us or who can hear my voice right now. Open the windows of heaven, Lord God, and pour out a mighty blessing of love, of grace, of peace, of purpose, of relationships. Bless them with amazing friends. Not fair weather friends, but true friends that will love them, encourage them, support them, respect them, honor them, always be honest, and want the best for them, that will celebrate them in their successes and encourage them in their trials. We call those friends into everyone's life right now. For those that are single and trusting you for a spouse, I thank you, Lord, that you bless them with a spouse. For those that are facing challenging marriages, Lord, I pray that you will bless their marriages. For those whose children have gone astray, Lord, I pray that you will open their eyes to Jesus. That you will show them that the world cannot satisfy them, Lord. Only you can satisfy them, Lord. Give them a heart for you, Lord God. I pray for everyone's businesses, Lord God, that you bless their businesses. Bless them with the most incredible team members, Lord God. Not just the smartest people, but the most innovative staff members, courageous staff members, hardworking staff members, honest staff members, loyal staff members, Father God. And for those that are being so diligent at work, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you will promote them in due season, that they will be a great blessing to their companies, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for our church. Thank you for every person that arrives here early every day, every Sunday, Lord. Our media team, our greeters, our worship people, our prayer team, Lord God. Everyone is serving, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you bless them, that you bless them in every area of their lives, Father God. Bless them, Lord God, with their heart's desires. Thank you that you meet their every need and you even overflow them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers in Jesus' name. And before we end the service, maybe you're here today or you're watching us or listening to us and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. He died for you. He's a son of God. He was crucified and buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead, and Jesus is alive. And he's knocking at the door of your heart. And if you will open the door of your heart, he'll come in. He'll save you, heal you, give you a brand new life. But you have to receive him. He's a gentleman. He won't barge himself into your life. You have to invite him in. And if you want Jesus to come into your life while everyone's eyes are closed, just quickly put up your hand if you want Jesus to come into your life. Those that are watching, you want Jesus to come into your life. And if that's you, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in my heart that you were buried and on the third day you rose from the dead and you are alive. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's clap for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.